As Christians, we often find ourselves on opposite sides of the issues with our brothers and sisters. How do we handle these controversies? Are they necessary for salvation? Are they necessary for us to get involved in? Pastor Tim answers that question today as we continue our series on Christian maturity.
Last week, if you were not here, we talked about what the theme of the year is going to be. It's called a maturity. What does that mean? A Christian maturity, what does that mean? And I hope that you really took a note of that. I hope and I pray that you took it seriously within your heart, is that you want to continue on a path of maturity, that you don't want to be stagnant, you don't want to be remain here when God wants you to be here. That is my hope and that's my prayer for my life, for my family's life, and for you, is that you just want to maintain. We often do that with our weight. I'm not going to call any names that says it all the time. Is that we move and allow the Lord to do something very special, especially in our lives. And there are a scripture that was Colossians chapter 2:6-7. It says, "As therefore we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live, your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." It's a wonderful scripture, and we're going to be referencing that throughout the year. And so I hope you have made that commitment that you want to continue to grow the Lord. You want to be rooted in Him and allow Him to continue to build on that foundation that He has set for us and in us. My hope is to see all of us surrendering to the Lord. It's being made perfect, as we talked about last week. Loving God and loving all the ones around us. That means when we are living a perfect life, you know, probably say, "I don't have time to go all into what that means," because it carries such a negative connotation that I'm not perfect. Well, we are perfect when we love God and love people. And so if you don't understand where I'm headed with that, it's online. You go back and to take a look at last week's sermon. It's not trying harder. It's about surrendering. We'll say things. "I'm really trying harder to live for the Lord." If you ever say that to yourself, then I'm going to tell you now, you will fail. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering to what God has. And I believe in that today. Well, as today, Paul gives Timothy some practical advice, I believe, about maturity. 2 Peter chapter 2, 22-26. 2 Timothy 2:22-26. Why don't you stand with me real fast, and as we read God's word, it says to shun youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who are called on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with a stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with the gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. That is some wonderful scripture today, isn't it? I want you to be seated. It says to shun youthful passions. And we can define this in so many different ways. But studying it and seeing what the language was telling us, it's basically this. You have to stop sinning. You got to stop sinning. It's just the bottom line to it all. As a Christian, folks, this notion that we can live any way we want to live, that do whatever we want to do and still say, "One day I'm going to go to heaven," is there comes a time when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we say, "You know what? He has something much better for us." It matters how we live. It matters what we say and come out of these lips. It matters on how we treat people. And in other words, if you want to be stagnant and as far as maturing for the Lord, then we got to deal with the sin problem. Got to deal with it. And I know there are times that we struggle with things in our lives, and I'm a firm a believer. I've had people in my office that have come and says, Pastor, I am struggling in this area. And when I hear that, I just want to get up and just put my arms around them and say, there you go. You're confessing it, that I have a struggle in my life. And it says, Tim, there's an area in my life that this sin keeps coming. This keeps coming up. And that tells me that your heart is right because you want to do right. Does that make sense? That you want to do right. It says to shun this stuff. Flee from it. I remember when I was in a school, there was a certain a group that they were really having a hard at a time. And you know, everybody was sitting around saying, I wonder what's going on with that. I wonder what's going on with them. I wonder why they're having such a hard time. And I just finally just spoke up and said, you know what? It's called sin. It's just called sin. And when sin is in our lives, you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be a very difficult time. And you're headed down a path that Satan wants you to head down. And it's not going to be a good ending for you. It's not going to be a good ending at all. But what is so wonderful about what Paul was telling Timothy, let me say this. We disguise sin and call it shortcomings. Oh, I just made a mistake. Listen to me. Just be honest and call it sin. Just call it sin. Just be honest with yourselves. God knows. Just call it sin. But we often want to disguise it like, well, I have a few little shortcomings. Or I have, you know, I make some mistakes. I try in my own life and say, you know what? I've sinned. Lord, bring forgiveness. Restore. Bring forgiveness in our lives. If we will learn to be honest with ourselves, it's amazing what will happen. But he says, instead, pursue. Go after righteousness. In the interest, he said to shun youthful passions. But he says, now run towards righteousness. See the difference in that. He says, run the other way, flee, go. But pursue righteousness. Pursue it. That means you've got to have an agenda. That means you've got to put something forth. You have an agenda to be able to pursue righteousness. It's almost like when my wife and I were dating. You know, I had to pursue her. Well, not a whole lot. She called and asked me out first. She really did. It's almost when you pursue, you know? I love to tell that story. And she loves to hear it. But go after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Pursue these things. Run after them. But in verse 23, says something interesting here. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Interesting. If we want to stop Christian maturity, let's get called up some things that are stupid and senseless. You might say, well, Tim, what are you talking about? What is he talking about? Well, in the first century, he might be talking about, well, you can't eat this food, or you can't do this, or you can't do that because the Jewish law says this. But for us, we don't necessarily struggle with those things. It seems like that some Christians love the battle. Ooh, praise the Lord. Scared you, didn't I? I don't know what's going on there. That scared me. When I used to get afraid, I used to stutter a lot. So we might get out by 1 o'clock today. Are we good? Mark? Okay. All right, let's get back to where I was. It seems that some Christians love the battle or the war and pursue things that have a tendency to divide the church. A Christian maturity ceases when we put on the hat of fussing. You know, You see, what happens is when we begin to fuss or begin to argue about whatever, we're trying to straighten everyone else out, and we lose sight of our own faith. We lose sight of our own faith. We feel underpowered, but as the word says here, but I believe it's a scheme of the devil. It's a snare. And I've said this before. I've seen the devil use some people to do some unbelievable things within the church body. Sit back and we weep and we cry over it. That being used as a tool of the devil, pretty much is what Dr. Paul was saying to Timothy. That's a tool of the devil. And that we fall in this trout sometimes over these senseless controversies. And I'm just going to take real quick here and maybe go over some of these with us, because I want us to continue in our Christian maturity. But if the devil can lead us down a path and get our attention on things that are useless and senseless, we stop growing. We stop growing. Because we get so caught up in these things that seemingly are important, but in reality, they have nothing to do with my salvation at all. Nothing. But we are all guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. One of the things, and the areas I'm going to try to go fast, is that we get so political in our faith. Now, I want you to listen to me. The Lord works outside this political arena. I'm going to break it to us. The Lord works outside of the political arena. He works outside of that. He can work in if he wants to, but I have a feeling that the Lord don't have much to do with politics at the same time or ever. The Lord doesn't need the right person elected for God's will to be done. Understand this today. We get so caught up in this. If we can elect just the right person, we will sacrifice our faith on the altar for somebody. We will. And we get so caught up in it, on if left is right or is right is right, is that God works outside of all that to accomplish the things He wants. He needs His church just to be the church. Just be the church. You vote your unconscious, but a fussing, because I can't say the other word. I can't say arguing. See, I keep saying it. So I'm going to call it fussing, okay? Is that okay? Yeah. But fussing with others about this and that is senseless. It creates and it breeds division among the church. It really does. It really honestly does. I used to stand toe-to-toe with people and say things like, you vote with that person, how can you be a Christian? You know? Lord, help me. Who am I to say those things? And in those moments, people are listening. People are listening. People are watching. And I'm a firm a believer that you vote your conscience on what God is telling you to do, and I would never put you down for that at all. It's not my place, anyone else's place to put you down. You do what you need to do, but when we get caught up and it's a mainstay in our life that we have to be so apolitical, we stop growing. Christian maturity ceases. And we have a tendency to lose our faith in it. Here's another one. A campaigns against a certain a group. Well, this is a big one. Because it makes the church look so judgmental and looking down on certain other groups in our society. Abortion is in the news again. And as your pastor, I want to tell you now, I claim I stand for life. I stand for life. I do. I stand for life. And I believe in life. But meeting outside of abortion clinics, once again, the intent is good. But most women see it as very judgmental. You think you're doing good, but the right way, the righteous way that I believe is to foster, to adopt, or serve in a mercy center. And yes, we can pray for the laws to change, but listen to it. A picket sign equals a Pharisee. A towel in someone's hand equals Jesus. Listen to me today, equals Jesus. If you want to serve young ladies that are abortion-minded, a picket sign in your face is not going to do a whole lot. You might save one or two, but the damage that you're doing outweighs the end result. And so we get caught up in these things. We make it our mainstay. When the Lord says, okay, I believe in life. I believe in life. But there's a better way. And I think a better way is serving instead of picketing. And so we get so caught up in this. Theological battles. The world is looking and watching how we love one another. The world will know that we are God's disciple on how we love one another. God's word. And theological, we begin to fuss about a difference in theology in the public square. It just turns people off. It really honestly does. We don't see it as much as we used to see it. But when you're at work, or you begin to, you got a Methodist over here and a Baptist here, a Presbyterian here. You got some Nazarenes here, then you got freedom. Whatever we are, Lord help us. Sometimes and you begin to fuss about theological things. And it gets heated. What have we done? What's it mean? We have taken something so pure and so holy, and we have made it a tool of the devil. Because listen to them down there. They can't even get along. They're fussing and hollering at one another about things in the Bible. I've been there. I told you a story once when I worked at a Horton Homes right out of high school. Yes, I worked at Horton Homes. I know you find it hard to believe. Me and this guy, he was a Baptist preacher, and I was right with the Lord, just getting right with the Lord. And during lunchtime, he and I would just have these conversations, and we would debate one another. And I remember one time we was in a good one, and I slid something there really good. I mean, boom! And everybody went, woo! And I walked off, and I was like, I got him today. I walked around the corner, and the Lord hit me right 20 eyes and said, look at the damage you just did. Yeah, but you got him. But what? Look at the damage that you have done to the kingdom. Why would anybody want to be a part of the church when me and another preacher is screaming and hollering and fussing at one another? You know? So we make it our goal. We make it that this is our mainstay. I've said this all along, and my father used to say, if you disagree with a church, just leave and go where you agree. You know? If God's calling you somewhere, that's where you need to be. That's where you need to be. But the problem is some controversies are truly senseless and stupid, as God's word says. We often let a tradition that dictate us. Well, that's not the way we used to do it. Well, it's not even in here. It's not even in the Word. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. I believe in a tradition. There's a great understanding in a tradition. But when it's time to change something, because it's not doing what it used to do, don't you think it's just time to change it? I think so. But sometimes we get hung on traditions. I know this seems all negative, but I'm trying in my heart to warn us to be careful going down these paths, because they lead us to nowhere. And when we get these things in our heart and we seize them in our heart, we once again, I've been using the word mainstay, we make it our battle and our war to change everybody, because we know we got the truth, and some of these things, most all these things, not pertinent to our salvation anyway. And so what I'm saying to us today is that what Paul was telling Timothy as a leader, be careful with these things. Be careful. One of the things is that this is God's house. This is not God's house. This is a room with God's people in it. Understand that. This is not God's house. This is a room with God's people in it. this is not sacred at all until we come together and things are made sacred. Because we're here. And when we leave today, guess what? It's still room. It's still room. I'm so thankful that the Lord lives within me. Lives within me. But we will go to tooth and nail to try to protect this area. And I believe in it being a reverent place. I don't please understand what I'm saying. But when we leave here, God wants to use us. If this is God's house, then therefore this is the only place that we can meet Him. That's called a Jewish temple. Praise God, Jesus came in and says, now I enter into you. I enter into you. I choose to read the New Revised, a standard version of the Bible. Listen to me. Very controversial. But do not let anyone tell you that your translation is inferior or wrong because it's not the King James Version. If you read the KJV, great. But denouncing other translations is wrong. Here's the thing. My reason for leaving the King James Version, it's a great translation at the time, but those King James words just don't mean the same today. I like a translation in my own language. You stick with what you want to read. But don't let anyone tell you the translation you're using is inferior. Don't understand me? Don't let anyone try to sway you that one translation is better than all the rest of them. Don't let them. Yes, there may be some out there that denounces who God is. Yes, leave those alone. Those are few and far between. But praise God that I have a translation of God's Word. Understand this. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I challenge you to read all different translations. But when we get so caught up in one thing, and we make it our mainstay again, we're very much in a place that we could lose our faith. Because it's sinking sand. Because it's sinking sand. After controversies, as Paul told Timothy, he said they're stupid and they're senseless. Because he was trying to tell him, he says, when you get caught up in these things, what suffers is the worship of the Lord, and what suffers is it leads people away from the church. It leads them away from the church. And I don't want to lead people away from the church from who we are. I want people to see that we speak truth, but we speak it in truth and in love. That we speak truth, but we speak it in love. I had a college student tell me, it was one of y'all, I can't remember. He said, I've been looking for a church that will slap me side of the head with truth, but you slap it with love. I like that. Because I believe that the truth will set us free. It's God's word again. That's because I stand in this political spectrum. Doesn't make me more righteous than someone that stays in this political spectrum. Just because I read one translation doesn't make me much better than someone reads something else. So understand, these are senseless controversies that leads us down a path that stops our Christian maturity. But he goes on and says, but here's God's word. He says, just be kind to everyone. It's okay to discuss these things, but when we take it to a place of causing division, it becomes wrong. Shun these things and pursue righteousness. It's always a litmus test, usually. If it causes division within the church, you better sit down and take a seat and say, Lord, am I doing what you called me to do? You take that moment and say, Lord, I feel like you've spoken something in my heart. And you begin to go down the road, and all of a sudden it begins to divide. I have to take a step back. Let's take a step back. All in the theological things, we have fussed and fought for centuries. And all it's done is turn people away from the church. We have fussed and fought about the study of the end times over and over again. That this has to happen, that this has happened. If you don't believe it this way, you don't believe it, you're a pre or post. You know what that means? We're fussing, arguing. My theology professor, he said, I'm a pan-millionist. It's all going to pan out in the end. I like that. Because I know I'm secure in my walk with Jesus Christ. And whatever the end is, so let it be. Because I am secure in Jesus. I'm secure in Him. And so you might think, well, Tim, this is a hard sermon. And it is a very hard sermon. But when we shun these things and pursue righteousness, a lot of these things that we thought that were so important are not necessarily as important anymore. They're just not as important anymore. It's not. It's when we begin to see people that are lost and dying without a salvation touch. Now that's something I can run to. You know? That is something that I can, Lord help me. Lord help me. But when the fundamentals of the faith are being attacked, then yes, we have to make a stand. When I say the fundamentals of the faith, that means when people say there's another way to God except through Jesus. Universalism is taking root in America has for the last 10, 15 years. So, you know, you can be a Hindu, you can be this or that, it all leads to one God. I disagree. I believe it's only through Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again that we get to God. There's times that we have to make a stand. But I believe we can make a stand with a tile in our hand instead of a picket sign in our hand. I just believe that things that are important, God will reveal to us. So I don't want to be the one that divides. Understand? I don't want to be the one that divides. And you feel like that being a part of the political scheme is your agenda? If you do it with a towel in your hand, you go after it. You go after it. But if you go in it with a Bible and wavering everybody's faith, church, if you hear about that on my phone, my hope and my prayer is that we won't be a church that divides, that we will be a church that brings unity. Brings unity. That we can all be on the same page as much as we can be for a common purpose and a common goal. Worship Him. Love Him and love others. And all this other stuff, you believe what you want to. But I think we can all agree. Love God, love Him. I think we can agree on that. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Agree with that. Going on to a Christian maturity. I pray today that you understand what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. Don't get caught up on this stuff. It's senseless. It's useless. But what is useful? Pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. And God will lead us in greatness. on your sand.
Thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Pastor Tim and all the family at Freedom Church, this is Pastor James St. John encouraging you to continue to press on and press in toward Jesus, press on to Christian maturity as we grow together and commit to help one another to grow in the coming year. God bless you. Have a great week.